Well, now, brethren, we're going to have the privilege of participating in this evening devotional and reflecting upon our many brethren. Brother Allen has selected as his subject, "Blessed be the tie that binds," the same as the hymn we have just sung. And I'm sure that at the end of this service, and it's going to be on a videotape, we will have a greater love and appreciation for our brethren throughout the world as we see them in various lands and reflect on this precious tie that truly binds our hearts together in Christian love. So now we'll turn this service over to Brother Alan Springer.
Thank you, Brother George. Well, dear brethren, we have had many rich blessings today already. And when we look back upon the time that we have spent together thus far in convention, we realize what a tremendous blessing that it is for us to be together. The world in its own way is gathering on this evening, gathering together with their friends and so forth. But dear friends, how different it is for us. And frankly, I'm sure you feel the same way that I do, that there is no place that I would rather be on this evening than with those that I love, with the brethren. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. And as Brother George told you, this is the theme for this evening. And we want you to consider the very special privilege that each of us have of being here. Not all of the Lord's dear ones are so privileged as we. There are many who would like to be here tonight who cannot be. Some cannot because of family obligations, some because of financial obligations, physical infirmities, and so forth. So we want you to think about your brethren around the world. Tonight we are going to have a prayer, praise, and testimony meeting. You will have the privilege of participating. Primarily, you will have the privilege of contributing the majority of the praise, though not all of it. And if you think of a hymn, as we should think of a hymn as being a prayer in song, then you will also have the privilege of participating in the prayer aspect of this meeting. You will have the privilege of seeing those who could not be here. The bulk of our time will be devoted to them. They would like to be here, and this is our way of allowing them to participate. You will hear testimonies from some of them, short messages, a song, a scripture. Brethren whom you have never met, others perhaps you haven't seen for a long time, and some who have finished their course. Our first testimonies this evening are going to come from two small ecclesias in upstate New York, the Rochester Ecclesia, the Western New York Bible Students, also known as Buffalo. And these brethren, in a joint meeting a short time ago, prepared these messages especially for you brethren gathered here this evening. Western New York and Rochester Bible Students Ecclesia.
I'm Sister Ann Fornudo from Rochester, and I want to praise the Lord and thank Him so much for all of the blessings He's bestowed upon me. The light of truth has shone in my heart for many, many years, and I'm so happy to have this knowledge and wish that everyone had it, and pray for the day that it will be soon when everyone will be blessed by the knowledge of the truth and worship and love the Lord as much as I do. I want to thank the brethren for all the help they've been to me, and especially at this meeting with Brother Alan McAllister and all of the Buffalo Ecclesia. I remember you in my prayers, especially those whom I've met and know by name, and all the ones that exist throughout the world. And I ask that you will remember me in your prayers. I love you all. God bless you.
and Sister Mary Greco from Rochester, New York. And we just had a nice get-together with the Buffalo class with Brother McAllister and the family. And it was always such an uplift to have them come, and we go there every so often. And it's such a blessing to be with God's people. And I pray that He will keep me in His narrow path as I need Him. And I pray for all of you, and I ask an interest in your prayer.
I'm Sister Lucy Strelzik from the Western New York Buffalo Ecclesia, and we're enjoying a fifth Sunday meeting here in Rochester, New York, and I want to lift my voice in praise and thanksgiving to my Heavenly Father for this privilege we have of meeting together and learning more of the precious promises. And I'm very grateful that I can attend meetings. And I ask a blessing upon everyone, and I'm very grateful for this testimony meeting. Thank you.
I'm Sister Mary Harrell from the Rochester, New York Ecclesia. And I want to thank my Heavenly Father for the many blessings that I have received, for my opportunity to go over to France this past summer to the International Convention. And I'm just grateful for the many brethren that I have met and what opportunity that I have had in my life to speak to anybody that I might have uplifted them in some way or planted a little seed. And I love all of you, those I know and those I do not know. And I pray for all of you, and I ask an interest in my prayer for you to pray for me. Thank you.
My name is Ernest Lake, Brother Ernest Lake. I send greetings to all God's people at this time. I want to say for this year that it has been a bounty of truth for me, and I know it has been for all God's dear children. I would like to all to know that the wonderful love of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus has kept me, not only through this present year, but all the years of my consecration, of sacrifice with our Lord Jesus. I pray that this coming year will also be a bountiful harvest for all those who love the truth, who love the wonderful divine plan of the ages, which is God's bounty for all of mankind and for the church as well. God's peace be ever and always with you. Thank you very much.
We are next going to journey to the Detroit area to hear from our dear sister Vicki Costa. She's going to share with us some of her experiences, the experiences of her husband, Brother Costa, and some of the history of those early days after Brother Russell died. It is a very interesting story. We only have time this evening for a few brief excerpts, but we are very glad that Sister Vicki was willing to share this message with us. And we're also grateful to the brethren in the Detroit area who prepared this portion of the program. And so next we will hear from Sister Vicki Costa.
I'm Sister Victoria Costa. And she's been here at the Westland Convalescent Center, I think, probably 12 years? Longer, huh? 13? Anyway, and she originally came from here, was born and raised in Detroit, and we're going to read a few papers a little bit about her background and history and the truth. She's got Lou Gehrig's disease, so she's not able at this point to read them herself. That's why we have... others of us are going to need them. So another little page. In the 1940s and 50s, we visited brethren in the Pittsburgh area 2 and 3 times a year. There was a class of 25 meeting in the old Bible House. There was a brother, Bricker, who was the secretary of the class during Brother Russell's day. This brother came into the truth in 1896. He had 2 sisters in the flesh, Sarah and Emma, and they were in the truth also. They were not married and all went colporteur, and the brethren called them Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. In a suburb called Glenfield, about 13 miles away, lived a brother and sister McComb. We stayed at their home when visiting, as they had 3 bedrooms. We always had lovely spiritual fellowship with them. During one of our visits, their daughter and son-in-law took us for a ride at night, and we were not told where we were going. About 20 miles away, we all got out of the car and looked up, and behold, so many stars as far as the eyes could see. The stars were 1 inch apart, millions of them. The prophet David has truly said, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Brother McComb came into the truth in 1906. He was one of the pallbearers for Brother Russell. Brother Russell's sister, Sister Land, lived across the street from the McComb's home. Sister Land is the one whose testimony on that servant is found in the book, The Laodicean Messenger. Reading in the 1908 Watchtower last Tuesday of Brother Russell's trip to England and Ireland, and being in Brother and Sister McComb's home in Dublin, Brother Russell had an English farthing, which he passed to the brethren in the Bible House. Brother McComb had one and gave it to us in the 1950s. A farthing is worth 1/4 of an American penny, and it looks like our penny. Now we have a page about how Vicki's husband, Brother Costa, got the truth. And I thought it might be interesting to just read this page.
My husband's older brother received the truth in 1912 in Chicago. Previously, he was a leader in the IWW Union, and he was a good speaker. His parents wanted to have him educated as a priest, but he wanted to come to America. My husband came to Canada in 1913 near British Columbia, but did not like to live in Canada. He had in mind from the start to come to America. The experiences had by my husband in his boyhood in Europe, at home and in Canada, and when he came to the United States on the border of Minnesota in 1916 during wartime, and how he crossed to the United States at night with 35 other men. Brother George would tell me when we were in bed before we went to sleep, and I cried like a baby. I told him he should write a book. I remember all the experiences of Brother George up to the time of his death. Would be an interesting book to write and to read, but I would not want to spend consecrated time writing it. Brother George lost the address of his brother who lived in Chicago, but finally has found his brother's address and wrote to him asking what he was doing, and received an answer about 1920 that I am serving a great king. Brother George, my husband, was wondering what that meant. So he went to visit him in Chicago and saw a divine plan of the ages chart on the wall. And so he inquired, and his brother asked, do you want to know about it? And Brother George said, yes. The entire plan was presented, and Brother George said, this is what I was looking for. And his brother gave him the entire set of Polish volumes. He read the entire volume 1 in one night and told me, he cried like a baby for joy. That was in the fall of 1920 and consecrated in the spring of 1921, but had no opportunity to symbolize until 8 months later in Chicago Polish Convention, as Brother George was living in Janesville, Wisconsin. Later he moved to Detroit. Naturally, all brethren were in the Watchtower Society. There were problems in the society among the Polish brethren. Rutherford wanted to move the printing of the Polish truth literature in Detroit to Brooklyn, New York, and the Polish Brethren were opposing this move as the Polish Brethren bought and owned the printing presses and papers, etc. Saul Rutherford came to Detroit to settle this problem. Brother George was at this meeting among all the brethren, and Rutherford was on the stage. That was a large building in Alexandrian where English and Polish brethren met every Sunday. Brethren were standing up and opposing Rutherford, and he was behaving very roughly and would say, you, sit down. And Brother George asked the sister who sat next to him, who is he on the stage? And the sister said, why, that is Rutherford, and was shocked at Rutherford's behavior. Brother George stayed with the society only 1 year. Brother George did not meet with any class for a time. Brother Paul Johnson, a Jewish brother who was a pilgrim in the pastor's days, left the society. In fact, was thrown out and met as a class. Brother George joined upon the promise that we would hold to the truth, so he met for 9 years and separated as Brother Johnson was going astray from the truth in some points.
Yeah, then I just have one more page here to read about the split between after, should I read that one? After Brother Russell died, this is interesting. After the pastor's passing away on October 31st, 1916, very soon troubles began in the Watchtower Society and a division came in 1917. Some Polish brethren left the society and called themselves Free Brethren, in Polish called Wolne, and began the journal called Watchtower, in Polish called Strażnika. Excuse my pronunciation. But Rutherford forbid the use of that name because the Watchtower Society had a copyright. So Brother Olszynski said, we will call the journal Watch, and in Polish called Straż, and leave for the judge Rutherford nothing, as this word nicz means in Polish.
We hope that you appreciate a little bit of that history from Sister Vicki. The death of the pastor brought with it many tests, and some of those tests continue even to our day, though it has been nearly 80 years. We felt that it would be fitting that we would pay at least a small tribute to the memory of our dear pastor as we come to the close of another year and the start of a new one. After all, it is the truth. And more than that, it is the spirit and the love of the truth that has brought all of us here together this evening. And it was Brother Russell whom the Lord used, that he chose to be that special servant that would reveal this truth to us. These pictures that you're seeing are some of my favorites of the pastor. Some of them may be familiar to you, others perhaps are not. I believe that that's Brother Reed in the background there. Someone may know. Thank you. The next photo here is a rather interesting one. I think this is one of the more interesting. You'll notice Brother Russell is holding his hands with the fingers separated in the middle and curved slightly forward. And for those of you who don't know what that is, Leonard Nimoy did not invent that particular position. However, it's rather interesting because Leonard Nimoy is Jewish, and that's why he knew about it. Because this was the two-handed blessing of the Jewish high priest. And the letters that are formed, they're both the same letter, one is inverted from the other, is the letter that begins the word Shalom. And of course, it constitutes that two-handed blessing of the high priest. And it is what we find in Numbers 6, 24 to 26, a very familiar blessing that all of you know. This prospect that we have, dear friends, of blessing all the families of the earth is one of the grandest ones imaginable. And truly, these are wonderful words of life. And so it is most appropriate, with that thought in mind, that we will have Brother Russell to introduce our next hymn for us. And that will be hymn number 264, wonderful words of life.
The poet has well said, "Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, my Father loves me." When we realize that the great Almighty God is the friend of His creatures, it gives us confidence in Him and the desire to address Him, our Father in heaven. How interesting to know that He has the world's affairs in His charge, and that the reign of sin and death will soon be overthrown by Messiah's kingdom. I invite you to rest mind and body by rising and singing together the beautiful words. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life.
Next section, we are going to travel to the West Coast to hear from Brother Homer and Sister Grace Hamlin, Sister Stephanie Drobny, Brother Frank and Sister Mary Vavrin, Brother Walter and Sister Irene Juke, and then we're going to go to the Denver area and interview with Sister Helen Marks. Some of these dear brethren are getting on in years, and we're only able to contribute a few words, but we trust that you will find it a blessing.
Thank you, Brother Homer.
Yes, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. But the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's the proverb, Proverbs 3:5-6.
Oh, this is a long one.
Okay.
How blessed, how glorious, how joyful to feel the love everlasting of sunshine. A seal. The love that is perfect, the love that is pure, that we may with patience all things will endure, well endure. Ponieważ zachowałeś mój nakaz, by przy mnie wytrwać, przeto i ja zachowam cię w godzinie próby, jaka przyjdzie na cały świat, by to doświadczyć mieszkańców ziemi.
You read it very nice and very good.
Brother Frank, do you have any scripture or encouragement for the friends that you like especially?
Yeah, 316.
Hymn number 316.
to riches. God so loved the world, he gave to me without a son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
John 3:16.
Peace be unto you. We deeply appreciate the brethren, and our prayers go out for them. We thank God through Jesus for all the experiences of life, both spiritual and personal. God bless you as you endeavor to please him. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
I'm Helen Marks from Colorado. I think most of the friends know me. And I want to send our love to everyone. And I love you all. And I don't know what else to say, but if Tilly hears me, I wonder where she is, because she isn't home right now. I try calling her. I can't get in touch with her. She's probably by her children. They usually go out. Yeah, I'd love to go to conventions, but I can't always do it because I have a little bit problem. But well, I can't expect anything else being 85 years old. That's what I want to be. So I can't expect anything but different. And everybody gets a little older, so that's it. I don't know what else.
What do you remember from Chicago?
Pardon me?
What do you remember from Chicago?
Oh, I can't name everybody there. There used to be some on the east side, and I used to go to the Polish class, and I used to go to the English class. So there's really a lot of people there that we know when my husband and I, when he was living. So we know a lot of people from Wisconsin, from Detroit, anywhere you name it. We know them all. So, well, you know, the truth means a lot, because, you know, when you come, I was nothing. We didn't go anyplace. My mother didn't go anywhere. We didn't go anywhere. But when the priest told my mother that there ain't no God, he never seen him, that took my mother out of the Catholic religion completely. See, when my father died, he was, now you would call it like an acrobat. Years ago, they think nothing of it, and he was doing all kinds of tricks
right.
with another man, and he laid on the floor, and he was supposed to pick this man up, and he used to take chairs and different things, and he lifted up without no problem, and he was supposed to pick this fellow up. And he, when he picked him up, he said, wait a minute, I'm going to fix myself, my arms better on the floor.
Right.
And his arms flipped, and he broke his collarbone. So my mother went to the Catholic church and told him about it, and the priest didn't come over. So my mother, for the last absolution, whatever they call it, so my mother went back, and then she says, why didn't you come? He says, in the laughing matter, he said, I had to say goodbye to the nuns. And my mother said, well, you mean to tell me they're more important than my husband? And he, and aren't you afraid of God? And he said, well, I didn't see God. I don't know if there is one. My mother said, that's it. I'm not stopping in your church anymore. She never went back. So we didn't go anywhere. So when the truth came to us, it was really something wonderful, you know.
How did the truth come to you?
Well, there was a friend of ours, and she was a little relative. And my mother went to church to the... They had a meeting at their house in Chicago. And she went over there several times, my husband and my father and me, my stepfather and I. We never cared to, well, we didn't care for any. So my mother used to come home and she said, so wonderful when you go to a Bible meeting, you know. Why don't you go, Helen? And I says, well, I'll see. So then my mother approached my husband. She says, Joe, why don't you come and try the Bible meeting, see how you like it. I think you like it. So then one time my husband says to me, let's go, Helen. So we went, and when we went, it was a blessing. It was so wonderful. We couldn't do anything better, you know. So then my husband got to my dad, my stepfather, and he says, come on over and let's go. So my father says, all right. So the whole four of us went. And when we went, it meant so much to all of us. We never went back to anything else. So it really is a wonderful thing. A lot of times you talk to people and you talk about hell and all that, and they just can't take it, you know. How wonderful it is when you understand the Bible and get the stuff out of the Bible and the way the different religions and things, you know. You can't believe it.
Yeah.
So it really was wonderful for me. So we've been in the truth since 1932.
Wow.
Some of these dear ones have been in the battle for many years. And for some of them, the time is rapidly approaching when the Lord may instruct them to put off the armor. But let not him who puts on the armor boast as he who puts it off. For most of us, it is still a matter of girding on the armor and of endeavoring to keep on the whole armor of God and to assist our brethren to the same end. We'd like next to sing together hymn number 164, Hear the Call. 164, Hear the Call.
Thank you.
Now we are going to hear some testimonies from brethren in the Wilmington, Chesapeake Bay area. Sister Gladys and Brother Fred Winans, Sister Joan Murphy, Sister Grace Poor, and her son, Brother Martin Poor. Wilmington, Chesapeake Bay.
I've tried to get over things that have happened in my life, by the strength that the Lord has given me, and also the faith. And I'd like to tell you that I have been under quite a few trials and testings. And I understand that that's what we have to do in order to show our faith to our Heavenly Father. And He has taken me through quite a few tests and trials. And I hope that I'll be able to overcome them. I know that I believe in His wonderful promises. He promised me that if I try and believe in Him and be obedient to Him, that He would always see that I get along the best that I could. And I also believe in the greatest promise that He gave, which in Galatians 3:28 and 29, He tells us, Paul tells us, that there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, that all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and an heir according to the promise. I'm relying on that. I believe in that. That's why I presented my body a living sacrifice, so that I could bless, be part of blessing all the families of the earth. I wish that you would pray for me, and I'll keep you in my prayers. Thank you.
I've been truthful and faithful to the Lord as much as I can. It was my intentions probably to be more faithful and more fruitful than I am. And the Lord has blessed me tremendously, and I thank Him for it. And I'm not in the position where my health is up to par, but I don't care if it isn't. As long as I'm living, I'm going to try to spread the good news to anybody that have a desire to hear it. And it happened here lately, and I'm going to the hospital regularly to take treatments for a dreaded illness I have. And the young lady there that's giving me this treatment give me an opportunity to witness the truth to them. And one is interested, tremendously interested in it, because when I go back, she questioned me about what was said the other day or the day before. And she remembered these things, and she questioned me about them. But the other girl, she did not up to par on it as she should, because she was raised in a Catholic church. She went to a Catholic school, and they didn't teach the Bible. But she shows interest in it. And when I was last there, the one that was teaching the Bible, was studying the Bible, and questioned me on it, we had a long conversation pertaining to the Bible. And the other one was out of the conversation, and she was kind of curious. So when I got ready to leave, she told me, she said, this weekend, I'm going to read the Bible so that we can have something to talk about when you come back. And I told her, I appreciate that very much. And I thank God for these opportunities. Maybe most of the time they don't work out, but whenever they come up, I have opportunity to spread the good news.
And I thank him that regardless of my physical condition, I'm going to keep spreading the good news as long as I'm on God's earth. Thank you. Now, I desire your prayers for me. And I'll pray for you.
Mr. John Murphy from the Wilmington Chesapeake City Ecclesia. I'm sorry I can't be with you at your convention. I don't get to go to many conventions because of my family situation here, but my heart is with you and my love is sent to you. I want to praise my Heavenly Father for all his wonderful blessings. I also want to thank him for his wonderful blessings on my family. We just had a little baby granddaughter who is just wonderful, and we were very thankful for that. Excuse us. I'd like to tell you, relate a story about yesterday. As you all know, we all get into difficult problems, and yesterday we got some bad news. And as it would be, the day was full of rushing around and just doing all kind of things, and we were to have class last night. And as the evening progressed, I kept making all these excuses why I couldn't go, and I'm sure we all get into that situation at times. And I just, my earthly body was fighting with my spiritual body, and I just kept thinking all the reasons why I couldn't go. But thank the Lord, as the time came to go, my new creature took over and said, "You will go." Well, when I got there, I had so many blessings, the scriptures and the precious promises. And when the evening was over, we fellowshipped. And when I walked out the door, I was so uplifted. And my problems just seemed to melt away, and I was at peace. So that shows you, you should try to go to meetings, fellowship with your brethren, because it is so important. It just gives you what you need in fighting your problems and the scriptures. And we can't do without our brothers in Christ, and that is a prime example. I leave you with my prayer that you will pray for me as I always keep you in my prayers.
We're in the Wilmington Chesapeake class, and I would like to thank the Lord for giving me this privilege of bringing his name to all of you. I appreciate so very much being part of the Truth Bible Students Association, and I would just like to say that we have a wonderful God who has given us so many beautiful things to help us in our life. He's helped us through all the trials and tribulations that we have had to go through to help us develop our new creature in us. I would like to direct some of these comments to those who have heard the truth and who are contemplating committing a consecration to God. I think that you should seriously consider all the aspects of what that consecration means. And when you've reached your decision and you do consecrate, and God accepts it, then this new life will begin in you. Not a human, but a new life will begin in you, which is brought by the Holy Spirit into you, and it is up to you to develop that new life. And you do that with the trials and the experiences that you go through, and with God's help, He will help you in every way. All the trials that you might have, all the experiences you might have in your life, good or bad, will help you in some way to develop the things that God wants you to develop. You have to overcome your fleshly weaknesses. You have to pray for His help in guiding and directing you in the path of righteousness. And you have to be more than willing to do His will, because you are no longer have your own will. If you are seeking to please God and to be a part of the church class, each of us have something that we can give in the bringing back the world of mankind into relationship with God again, if we become members of that church class. And God knows what we can, how much we can stand, and He won't give you any more to bear than what you can, because He sees you inside, and He knows just exactly what you are able to do. And it's because of the things that He sees in you that He has called you. And I hope and pray that all of you make your calling and election sure. And I ask an interest in your prayers, as I will also pray for all of you, because we are all God's family.
Also from the Wilmington Chesapeake City Ecclesia, and I'd like to give testimony at this time. I'd like first to say and give all praise to our Heavenly Father for all of His glorious and divine attributes. Certainly with every day I find something else to praise our Heavenly Father for His unending patience and forbearance with all of us, especially those that would be His sons, and for His having taken care of every detail down to the minutest detail is He has taken care of in His plan of the ages. I don't get to travel around the country and visit as many ecclesias as I would like and go to various conventions, but the Lord has blessed me in many, many ways. He's given me opportunity for freedom from the world because of my disabilities and because of my stature in life. I have been given this freedom to study as much as I can, to attend as many classes as my mind can take in, and to always be at the ready to apply the things that I have learned throughout my studies. I truly give praise and thanks to our Heavenly Father for His placing me in the position in life that I am, because it has truly been a blessing. And I know many of my brethren share the same thing, those that have been disabled or infirmed in one way or another. I give thanks for the opportunity to be a willing sacrificer, to approach that glorious example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to be a part of that mediatorial Christ, that reigning body that is going to bless the world of mankind. I ask a interest in your prayers, brethren, that I would be more diligent in my application of the glorious principles that God has made known to us, and I would keep each one of you in my prayers as well.
Some very precious testimonies from some very precious brethren, and there are three more. Sister Mirza, of course, has finished her course, and when I think of some of the testimonies that these brethren gave, and I think of Sister Mirza, of course, I think of Brother Peter, and when I think of the two of them, I especially think of Christian soldiers. And that's very fitting in connection with our next hymn that we're going to sing together. It's one of my favorites, perhaps one of yours, been the favorite of many of the Lord's children over the years. Let's sing together hymn number 272, Stand Up for Jesus. Hymn number 272. Thank you. Next, we would like to take a quick journey around the world and to visit with a sampling of our brethren both here and abroad. We will see, among others, Sister Mary Jane Burns, Sister Agatha Pearson from the Miami Valley Ecclesia. We'll have some glimpses of Siloam, again, a Brother Norman and Sister Rachel Rice, many brethren whom you have never met, and some who have finished their course. We will see young and old, in familiar and in sometimes unfamiliar settings. Brethren who would like to turn their tapes might find a few seconds to do that at this time.
Thank you.
Many of the faces that you just saw were unidentified. And each one of these dear brethren has a story. Many of them have finished their course. And time does not permit us to share all those stories with you. But near and far, each one of these dear ones is known to the Lord. And as we reflect upon our past walk, let us consider also our brethren throughout the world, their respective walks as well, and to realize the more fully in the coming year that the Lord is in control, and to meditate upon this thought in our reflections upon the past and the future. Our next selection is a precious reminder along those lines. Hymn number 110, He Knows. our last segment for this evening, comes to us from the state of Connecticut. We are first going to hear a testimony from Sister Helen Zlotowski from Hamden, Connecticut area, and she's going to share with us some of her experiences and those of her family when she was first coming into the truth. There were many tests. It was a time of the divisions with the society. And I trust that you will find it interesting, particularly the brethren from this area, who she is related to, I understand. So Sister Helen Zlotowski.
Who was witnessed to by Sister Solon that brought her into the early movement of the church, that is the Bible students. And before she would go to work in the morning and in the evening, she would stop at Sister Schaefer's, and she would they would read the manna and a paragraph or two from the volumes, because my mother couldn't read. And she was very much, became very much an active Baptist Bible student, very, very, very sincere, because she felt that the movement would end in 1925 and the kingdom would be established. Mom would take my brother, younger brother, and myself to the meetings on Sunday with her. My dad would take the two older brothers to church. I met Charles at the public meetings that they held once a month, and we were married in 1926. He was consecrated when he was 17 years old, and he was full-time co-porter. But when that movement started in with this selling books and all, he became very discouraged and despondent, and he left it all. At this time, there was a breaking up of the brethren, the two interposed. There was no class. My mother lost her oldest son, and she became ill. She had a breakdown, and she had a nervous, she had a heart condition, because the brethren did not recognize her as a sister anymore. They told her that she was out of the truth. So it seems that she visited Brother and Sister Sogan, who was Brother Sogan, who was dying of cancer, and Brother Brzezowski and Brother Kudetkovsky from Forest were there, and they were talking, and Brother Brzezowski suggested that it would be nice if they could have a study on the sixth volume. My mother came in on the truth on that volume, and she thought that was just wonderful. She was so elated, and she came home fully enthused. And they became, they organized a class. There were six that came to the class. We got a hold of brethren that were with the society that weren't happy. And they started the sixth volume. And I was not interested at all. And it was a period of time my mother called me, and she said, I want you to listen to me very carefully. And you know, she says, that your husband made a vow unto you, which you want him to keep. But he made a vow unto the Lord, which is more serious than yours. And she says, and if he fails at this, keeping this vow, you're going to be responsible, because you're the one that's drawing him and keeping him away from the truth. And I would be responsible for a second death. Well, I became very fearful. And with that, I became, and Brother Brzezowski at that time would want help in finding brethren that were not only Polish, but they were with the English class and all. And he said, I need help. He says, I don't know my way around. And so he said, Sister, he says, would you be willing to help me? And of course, that way he would ask, Charlie would let me go with him alone. So Charlie would come along. So he was using this, I don't know just what, but that technique of his own, really. And Brother Brzezowski was responsible in reorganizing a New Haven class, Wallingford class, New Britain class, and Hartford. And in the English, the New Haven class and the Wallingford class. In the period of this time, I had felt that I had come to the point where I wanted to commit myself onto the Lord, which was in the 30s. And I can say that I was very active both in the English and the Polish, because they were, if I was looking for their addresses and visiting them, I couldn't very well leave them. So when they had a study, I was at the English and I was at the Polish, so I was with both. And I'm very thankful for the way the Lord used me. And I'm very thankful to this day. But what comes to mind is 2 Timothy 2:15, and it's, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but providing the word of truth.
Sister Laura Kelsey is our final testimony for this evening. She is from Centerbrook, Connecticut. She will introduce herself, but she requested that her message to the brethren assembled here this evening, that it would be read for her, and Brother Jonathan Quiet agreed to do that. So we will next and lastly hear from Sister Laura Kelsey.
Sister Laura E. Kelsey, what follows is my story.
Sister Laura rejoices in the truth, which has been a blessing to her for many, many years. She'd like to share some notes from her early years, her example of our Lord's overruling providences. Sister Laura grew up in Brandon, Vermont, with her parents and three brothers. As a family, she attended the Congregational Church on Sundays, and on Wednesday night, they went to the Baptist Church. After graduating high school, Sister Laura moved to the Brooklyn Eye and Ear Hospital in New York to study nursing. There, she met a new and lifelong friend. Her name was Marjorie Raymond. Later, she married and became Marjorie Tice. Today, she lives at the Bible Student Retirement Center in Oregon. Marjorie shared the truth with Sister Laura, and it answered so many of her questions. Sister Laura was immersed in Lake Webster, Indiana, in the late 1930s, and she enjoyed many meetings with the New York Ecclesias and later moved to Connecticut. In closing, she asked to share a favorite scripture, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Very precious testimonies. Well, dear friends, we hope that the time that we have spent together this evening has been a profitable one for you, that it has in some way blessed you. We hope that as you have heard these testimonies and if you have seen some of these brethren from around the country and from around the world, that it has touched you in some way or another to be considering your brethren the world over, to be taking to heart the sentiments of the hymn, Blessed Be the Ties That Binds. We're going to conclude this service with the use of Appendix B, Holy, 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 after which we will close with a word of prayer and then the chairman will come forward. We might just add quickly that there will be an epilogue after the songs in the night for those who wish to hear the Polish choir.
thank you, Brother Allen, for bringing to our attention many brethren around the world, some of whom we may never have met. And it's precious to think about the dear family of the Lord that we have. Truly blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Now we'll have our brother Ed Heidelbach from Milwaukee read for us the songs in the night for this December 31st, the last day of this year.
The songs in the night. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. Have you heard the cry, the knock, announcing our bridegroom's presence? Are you awake? Are you seeing to it that you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ as with a garment? See that under his direction you keep it without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and help one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Remembering that it is written, the Lamb's wife hath made herself ready. If a man love me, and he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him.
Thank you, Brother Ed. Well, brethren, that will bring to a close our services for this day. And we want all the brethren to remember that breakfast is served tomorrow morning from 8 to 9:15. 8 to 9:15, breakfast will be served. And so, on this last day of the year, brethren, as we part to our places of abode for the night, may we reflect in our book of memories of this past year, the blessings we've had, the trials, the overcoming, and make renewed determinations, new resolves that this coming year we will strive even more fully to lay down our life in sacrifice to serving the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. Now we'd ask our Brother Allen to close this day with prayer. And perhaps we could have the lights lifted a little bit for those who will be leaving, and if some want to see the Polish choir, they can afterwards. Brother Allen.
Our most gracious, loving, merciful Father in heaven, humbly we bow before Thee at the close of this day, the close of this year. Dear Father, we do thank Thee so much for Thy bountiful blessings towards us. Thou hast been so rich towards us. And the unspeakable gift of Thy dear Son, the privileges that we've had of knowing Thy truth, and the special privilege that we have of knowing one another, the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Please help us, dear Father, to be mindful of those privileges that we have as brethren, to be a brother, a sister to each other, to reach out to those in need, to reflect upon the examples of those who have gone before us. We thank Thee, we praise Thee. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.